In this sermon, Jesus is telling us about his kingdom, how to live in his kingdom. And now he reaches the end. We've been climbing this hill, and now we reach the summit, the climax. And it is a challenge. We've all been listening, and I think everybody would say, these are good words. What Jesus said is a much better way. If we all lived this way, how good it would be. But then Jesus comes close to you and says, now what about you? In your life, you're building a house. It's like building. We know one of our brothers here is a builder. And when you build, you've got to go down deep. You've got to have good foundations. What really are you building? Is it going to survive the tests? Is it going to be something you can live in forever? Or will it fall down? Will it collapse? We're here in Nairobi. Buildings, they're put up, but the foundations are bad. And even in Nairobi, sometimes they have little earthquakes and buildings fall down. And you see that the builders had cheated you. Or you see that the owner was wanting to save some money, but he lost everything. Now what about your life? And Jesus here gives us the key. There's many people who will say, I'm a Christian. And today they're sitting in a church and they're worshipping. But Jesus has a warning for those people sitting in churches listening. Here he is with his own disciples. They're sitting at his feet. They're not like the Pharisees who've gone away and said, let's just leave that Jesus alone. No, they're the ones who've said, come, teach us. We want to hear. And Jesus gives them a warning. And so here is our first, we've only got two today, but our first big thing to see. Jesus says that there's a day of judgment, and what you build will be tested. There is going to be a day of God's testing, a day of God's judgment. It's a day when every man and woman who has ever lived will stand before him. He speaks of it in Matthew 25. He says all the nations will be gathered before him. The judge who made us, who made the world and he put us in it, when he will look at how we have lived. He will look at our life and review it. Your words, your thoughts, your desires, your deeds, and your actions. He will examine them all, and he will compare them all to his law. He will compare them to what he gave us in the scriptures and what he made known to us of the truth as we heard it from others and as we had a knowledge of it in our hearts, as he made known to us that there was evil and that there was good and how we should live. And then he will give a verdict. We've all been waiting until last week for a verdict. Those judges in The Hague, they had looked carefully over the evidence. They had looked carefully at the laws and the rules and procedures of the court. And then they told us what their opinion was. Now that one was not final. The ones who've been accused can now appeal. Their lawyers can come and say, we think you made a mistake. You've not looked at the evidence rightly, or you've made some mistake in the rules of the law. You've not followed those rules properly. But with God, there cannot be any mistake. He knows all things. He's known you since before you were born. Inside your mother's womb, he saw you. And God is a God of perfect truth and justice. He can't make a mistake. And he loves what is right and he will do it. And Jesus tells us there will be many surprises, many terrible shocks on that day. There'll be those, it seems they've been building a great house. You look at it and it goes high. You look at it and it's very fine, it's very beautiful. You're thinking those are very good materials. That would be a beautiful place for me to live in. But it comes crashing down. The ruin, as he says, of that house will be great. Its destruction will be complete. End of verse 49. Because why? Because it had no foundation. What you look at looks good. But when the storm comes, you can see the foundation or no foundation. How good is the foundation of that house? How good is the foundation of those houses? We don't know. We can't see them. But if a great storm were to come, and if rivers of water were to come crashing down the hills, we'd see that some houses were a lot better than others. Now the Bible says there must be a day of judgment. There must be, because God is holy. He cannot be mocked. In this world, he is being mocked all the time. People are laughing at his laws. They're just doing as they please. And they are living with impunity. But God will not be mocked forever. He's very patient. He's waiting long. He's giving us many opportunities to repent. But it won't be forever. He won't allow justice to be forgotten. But he will bring it. Sin is offensive to God. Oh, it's little often to us. We make our excuses and we say it doesn't matter. But the Bible tells us sin is offensive to God. Adam was given a simple command. He said, just leave that one tree alone. All these trees here, so full of good food, just leave that one alone. Adam broke that one commandment. And ages of misery and pain and suffering and death have come to all of Adam's family. God would have you to know how seriously he takes sin. The Bible speaks of a place of eternal punishment. Jesus described this in many ways. He spoke of darkness. He spoke of weeping. He spoke of gnashing of teeth and wailing. He spoke of fire that never goes out. He spoke of the worm which never dies but consumes. He spoke of a lake of fire which burns forever. There is God's holiness and hatred of sin shown to us. And we know that justice doesn't come often in this life. We know that often people are escaping, that they're getting away with it. As we think of The Hague, were there really only four men? And even if it is those four, were there no others? How can over 1,000 people die? We know those men didn't do any of the killing themselves. It's said that they were getting others to do it. Well, who are those others? And we know there's many, many things going on day after day. And justice is not happening in this life. So there must be a day coming when God will bring it. We know that because we have a conscience. You have a voice inside yourself. It tells you when wrong is being done. Sometimes it tells you a person is wronging you. They've cheated you. Sometimes it tells you this way isn't quite right. Or this way you shouldn't go in it. And you hear that voice. Even nobody sees you. You think you're on your own. But your conscience tells you of guilt. Even your conscience tells you of guilt of years ago. Sometimes I lie on my bed at night and I remember the things I did 25 years ago. Or 20 years ago, I remember things I said to my mother. I remember things I did to my friends. And I feel ashamed. And I'm reminded of guilt. God has put a witness there that these things are not forgotten. That they're still there. That they must be dealt with somehow. The Bible tells us that Jesus has been raised up as the judge. Jesus was raised as a sign to us. God has given a witness. The dead shall live so that they can be judged. And the judge is already ready. He's already waiting. God has appointed him. It's a sign for all nations that death is not the end, but there is a judgment. Jesus was killed for blasphemy. The Jews and the Gentiles said that he was a liar, that he was not the Son of God, that he did not have a kingdom, but that he was an enemy of men, that he was a false Messiah, and that he was an enemy of Caesar, the Roman ruler. And so they killed him. But God raised him from the dead, so that both the Jews and the Gentiles, both the high priests, the Pharisees, and Caesar might know that there was one who would judge them. There has to be a day of judgment. God's people suffer in this life. They speak the truth and they're punished for it. They speak the truth and they're hated and rejected because of it. Can God forget the sufferings of his people? Can he just ignore it? No, he can't. There's got to be a day when he turns everything around, puts it all right. Jesus was teaching his apostles. He'd just chosen these 12. That's how we got to this sermon in Luke 6. He chose 12 to be apostles. And, well, one killed himself. That was Judas. So then there's 11. Of those 11, history is telling us that 10 of them were killed for preaching Christ. One of them, it says, died in old age. That's the Apostle John. But the other 10 were killed for preaching Christ. Will God forget the sufferings of his servants? He can't. Jesus preached this day of judgment. John chapter 5, verse 28, 29, he said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." The Apostle Paul was preaching and he said, "In the past, God has overlooked such ignorance. But now he's commanding all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him up from the dead." Now here in Luke, the day of judgment is compared to a storm. In that part of the world, they often had great storms, and the waters would come down off the hills and they would wash past the houses, and then we would see what kind of house you had built. People understood this, that the test would come. Jesus says the day of judgment is like that. In another place it's compared to fire. Now fire burns up everything except the gold and the silver and the precious metals. If you built with hay and straw and grass and wood, then it'll burn down. In that place, he tells us we're building the temple of God and we need to build it with gold. Not buildings, but lives. Real people. It's tested and you see what it really is. It's the final judgment and there's no appeals. Once the house is knocked down, it's knocked down forever. What a day that will be. I'll be there and you'll be there. We'll be before the judge. He'll open his mouth to say the verdict. What a need to trust in Christ. Jesus Christ was the one on whom God's judgment fell. The storm, the torrent, the rushing water of God's judgment was poured out on Jesus on the cross. And you're only safe if you are in him. You're only safe if you're believing in Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary. today. Otherwise, you're just trying to build your own house out of your own materials. You don't have the deep foundation. The deep foundation has to be the death of Christ for your sins. That's the very beginning of it. Now let's then look at that. The only safe place. We said there's going to be a day of judgment. But how to be safe in that day? And hear what Jesus is telling us. The only safe place is to obey him. Not only with words, not only to say that we agree, but actually to do what he says. So he asks, verse 46, why do you call me Lord? Why are you using this word? Why do you make this statement about me, and yet you do not do what I say? What is the point? What is the purpose? Just to mock God, just to lie about the things of God. In Matthew chapter 7, we read this, he gives the same teaching, Matthew 7 verse 21, but he explains it a bit more. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You can't disobey the king of the kingdom and then think that he will welcome you. And here in Matthew, he gives some examples. He says, there are those, yes, they preached in my name. They did miracles in my name. They did signs and wonders. They prophesied. They drove out demons. And yet, their life did not follow Jesus' teachings. And so Jesus says, I say, who are you? I don't know you. In fact, he says, I never knew you. They're not just Christians who started well and then went badly. But they were people who were, they're imposters, they're frauds, they're cheats from the beginning. They took the name of Christ, but they did not have a heart to follow him. The word disciple means a follower. Someone who says, this is my teacher, this is my master, I do what he says. Jesus did not ask us for great miracles. He didn't ask us for signs and wonders. He asked us to obey his commands in our daily lives. He must actually be Lord. Not just in words, but in truth. Now, Jesus said this to disciples, to those who'd come up the mountain with him. Not those who've gone away with the Pharisees rejecting him, but those who are sitting at his feet. It's them he warns. Those inside the church, not those outside it. You only get hypocrites inside churches. If somebody is just out there, just drinking and saying, ah, Christ is not for me, let me live my own life, that kind of person can never be a hypocrite. He's many other things. He's lost, but he's not a hypocrite. Hypocrites are found only in churches. Now, Jesus is telling us to dig deep foundations. Now, that takes time. I had to dig last week, and I get blisters when I dig because I don't do a lot of it. We've got friends here who do a lot of work with their hands, and their hands are tough and strong. Whenever I dig, I get blisters. So I'm thinking, let me just make this hole, let me make it shallow. Let me not make it deep, because otherwise I'll have so many blisters. But Jesus says, you dig the foundations of your life. Spare no effort. Do not spare yourself at all. Make sure that you are obedient in all things, however painful, whatever it costs you, whatever it takes. In John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, the Jews came to Jesus. They said, what must we do to do the works that God requires? What is God demanding from us? And they needed to hear the first thing. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. later he said, "My Father's desire is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. First is to repent of sin and to trust in Jesus. To believe that he is the one who pays the price on the cross for us. To believe that he alone can take away our sin. Not us, not by our good efforts, not by our fasting and praying, not by our attempts to be good Christians, but to believe that Jesus came from heaven to save us, and then to turn to him, be baptized in his name, believing in him, join with his people, then to follow his commandments." Now, he's just been teaching us some of those commandments. In the last weeks we've seen, he said, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, be generous, love your enemies, do good to those who are hating you. Don't pay back evil for evil, but defeat evil with good. Don't just love your friends, but love those who are very hard to love. Love even those who hate you. Believe in the unseen things. Rejoice though you're poor and hungry and you weep and you're hated. Rejoice because you're following the way that Jesus went. Those are his commands. So when he says, don't just call me Lord, do the things I say, those are the things. To live that life by the help of the Holy Spirit whom he gives to us. To forgive our enemies through the strength of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what he's talking about. We're hypocrites if we fail to do those things. We're liars if we fail to do those things. We're not saved by good words. We're not saved by just, well, I'm not a Muslim and I'm not a Sikh, I'm not a Hindu, so I must be a Christian. No, it's not like that. We're not saved by having the pastor pray for us. We're not saved by being baptized and getting a card that says I'm a Christian. We're saved by truly turning to Jesus Christ so that he really is Lord. Truly trusting in him and his death and becoming his disciples in reality. A house may look very good and you may enjoy your time in it for a long time, but if it has no foundation, it'll fall. You'll be ruined. We will be put to the test. Is Jesus your Lord? Does your life really show it? Are you building upon his word? He says, if you do, you can have this promise. His word is like rock, verse 48. You're digging deep when you follow his word. When the flood of God's judgment comes, when the waters of his testing flow in, they will not shake you. You'll stand firm through this life and into eternity. And that test will come, and some of us will go one way and some of us the other. It's not the appearance, but it's the reality. Is Jesus' word in your heart? Not just on your lips. Is it in your heart that you follow him? You'll be safe through the judgment. When God's judgment comes to wash this world of all the evil, you'll still be here because he's washed you already. You won't be taken away with the wicked. You'll still be here to enjoy him and to see him forever.